Labas, and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Reividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio right here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and live streaming audio at www.ktym.com. Those ancient-type melodies are the best, aren't they? This is, again, Kęstutis Reividas. Thanks for tuning in to Independent Lithuanian Radio this afternoon. Weather in Vilnius, a veritable heat wave, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. I mean, while it will only be 45 degrees tomorrow and it'll drop at night to freezing, by Monday it'll be 51, and Tuesday it'll be 62 degrees. Wednesday, 63. 63 in the middle of April in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. Oh boy, the people will be out in the streets. That'll be wonderful. Anyway, it'll cool again towards the weekend. Thursday, 54, and weekend weather will only be in the high 40s. But anyway, spring has definitely sprung in Vilnius. Getting to our community calendar, lots of things going on. First of all, tomorrow, is the Spring Banquet, Spring Banquet Luncheon, brought to you by the Birutieches Women's Group, and it will be at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. It's the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets. And there'll be a beautiful lunch being served and a live program by Ballroom Dance Group. And they do traditional dancing and ballroom dancing, known as retro. And you'll get to see the show, have a great lunch, and find out the wonderful work that this women's organization Birutietes does here and abroad. For more information, call Ona Katilienė today at 323-650-2263. That's 323-650-2263. And ask for Ona. Again, that's tomorrow at noon at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, the Birutietes Springtime Luncheon Banquet Fundraiser. And in the next couple of weeks, culture and music, Tolimi Aidai, which is the men's a cappella group, and I'm not sure they perform everything a cappella, but the last few times I've seen them, they certainly have. Anyway, these gentlemen just put on a great show. They're very entertaining. They do some traditional Lithuanian folk-type songs, and they do a lot of pop, jazz, contemporary-type music. They're wonderful to watch and to listen to, and they'll be performing live on the 20th of April, that's next week, at 7 o'clock in the evening. And the best part is, by coming to this event at $20 a head, you'll be supporting the work of the Lithuanian American Community Incorporated and our very own honorary consul, Daiva Čekanauskaitė Navaret. All funds go to help support the activities that they so graciously give their time to. And, you know, it's important that we support this stuff, because remember, the government of Lithuania does nothing to support the honorary consul nor the Lithuanian American Community, Inc., which is run by the very capable Dangoda Navickienė out here in Southern California for the Western Division. So, anyway, it's a great concert, fundraiser. It's called the Springtime Concert. And again, it's next week, the 20th of April, at 7 o'clock in the evening at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. It's Saturday night. There'll be a full bar, and after the show, there will be other refreshments, hors d'oeuvres, being served. Okay? And you can call Dalila for reservations, or Rita or Vida. I'll give you some phone numbers. Dalila is at 805-496-9711. That's 805-496-9711. 11 or Rita at 661-297-5053 or Vida at 310 1692. Hope to see you there. And finally, a piano concert and show by Rudolf Bogdanas. Now, this is brought to you by the Daughters of Lithuania, and they've booked Rudolfas Bogdanas to put on a show for you known as The Power of Music. Lietuviškai muzikos jėga. It's going to be a benefit concert for the Daughters of Lithuania, and it's at noon, okay, at noon Sunday at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, April 28th. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen Rudolfas, but he's great. He's very accomplished, you know, world-class pianist, music teacher, and he has his own little combo orchestra and the like. But anyway, the show, he comments on the music, he talks, there's chatter, he explains everything to you so you know what to listen to. And you're not only is it a feast to listen, it's also you feel educated when you leave. You feel like you saw something special. So that's Sunday noon on April 28th, Rudolf Bogdanas, brought to you by the Daughters of Lithuania. April 28th at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. Reservations, you should call Vilija at 310-386-1442. That's Vilija Kiršonis at 310-386-1442. And finally, before we go to break, I want to thank many of you, those of you who showed up last week to the Baltic American Freedom League's annual awards banquet, where our very own Modest Markavičius just received this year's Freedom Award, and where we had Congressman Schiff, Congressman Adam Schiff, whose grandparents go back to Lithuania also, as our special speaker for the night. It was a standing room only event, all sold out. Beautifully put on. If you came, you know what I mean. We saw a little clip of Modest's movie, The Other Dream Team, and Schiff gave a nice background speech about himself in the Baltics. And again, the Baltic American Freedom League does such good work, and I'm so happy and proud that so many people showed up, and it was a great success for the night. If you were there, you saw me jump up on stage because no one had thought to bring copies of Modest's DVD. It's all out on DVD, his award-winning film, The Other Dream Team. And I'd just like to remind you that we have it available, okay? We have it available, so we are authorized distributors of the film at Euro Delimart Lituanica in Santa Monica, at Santa Monica and Yale. But best that you call and put in your order. Okay, give me a call at my office phone, and that way you can leave a message day or night, and I'll get back to you to take your order. They're $20 plus tax, plus shipping, if I need to ship it to you. If you're in the L.A. or San Fernando Valley area, I'll be happy to drop it off personally. So, again, $20 plus tax, so that's $22. Now, the tax is a little higher in Santa Monica, and that's where we're based, so it's $22. Including tax, plus $5 shipping if I can't deliver it to you. So give me a call at my office at 310-453-1735. 310-453-1735. That's 310-453-1735. Day or night, if I'm not available and it's a daytime hours, talk to my wife, Odra. She'll be happy to take your order. And if we don't pick up, leave your name and number, and we'll get back to you to take your order for that great film, The Other Dream Team, by our very own Modest Markavičius. As I said at the banquet, everybody should have three copies of this film. You should have one for your own library, one to give your children and loved ones, and a third one to give away to that special friend of yours who knows that you have a little different identity, who knows that you're a Lithuanian or a Latvian or an Estonian, and they know you go to these other functions, and you have a last name that it's difficult to pronounce, and your kids dress up in funny costumes, or your nieces or your nephews, and go to these festivals. And he's kind of curious, but he's really not sure, you know? Next time a birthday or anniversary or even Christmas rolls around, give them a copy of The Other Dream Team. Once again, to order, 310-453-1735. And finally, again, as I mentioned, Euro Delimart Lituanica, a great selection of Lithuanian and Eastern Northern European foods at the corner of Yale and Santa Monica Boulevards in Santa Monica, 28 blocks from the beach, specifically at 2838 Santa Monica Boulevard. It's known as Yale Center. It's a little strip mall. There's plenty of parking. Come by. We're open 7 days. And grab something to remind you of Lithuania to eat. We'll be right back. Well, if you listened last week, ladies and gentlemen, I shared with you an article that was published on www.history.net.com/Lithuania versus USSR, a secret hot fight in the Cold War. Anyway, my point being is that there's more and more information coming out and being put in the Western press, specifically in English, and we should be so overjoyed and happy about this. Better late than never. Because as I've repeated 100 times on this program over the past 20-something years, our culture has suffered from a sort of frustration, if not a schizophrenia, with one leg in Western culture and one leg in the old culture. You know, your parents are trying to teach you not to forget the homeland and the language, and your grandparents and the like, and yet you were born here in the United States, and you're torn between going to softball and Little League on the weekends or going to Lithuanian folk dancing. You're told about all the strange things that happen and terrible and awful things, yet no one else seems to know about them. Again, that's why this is important. Now, I'm going to pick up where I left off last week in a couple paragraphs. I'm going to go back. The Soviet Union had decided to change their tactics because they were unsuccessful in putting down the Lithuanian Freedom Fighters partisan movement. The Lithuanian Freedom Fighters were being reasonably successful in the forest after World War II, resisting the Soviet occupation. So they brought in a fella known as Major Sokolov. Okay, he successfully suppressed revolts in the western Ukraine, and they brought him in as a counterinsurgency specialist to Lithuania. The biggest problem, he decided, was the lack of reliable intelligence. Russian agents who attempted to infiltrate the partisan bands were quickly captured and killed by the Lithuanians. To counter this, Sokolov turned to captured former Lithuanian insurgents who were amenable to being bribed, retrained, and sent back to rejoin active partisan groups. Their knowledge of partisan jargon and ability to pass tests of loyalty made them more useful. Even organized fake partisan bands that engaged in staged battles with Soviet troops. And the survivors, actually Soviet agents, fled and joined genuine partisan bands who welcomed them. Such maskirovka, or deception operations, spread paranoia and provoked counterproductive partisan reprisals against suspected collaborators. These agents, who received training in surveillance, interrogation, and torture from a special Soviet secret police school, were known as spetsgrupy, or special forces, by the Soviets, and stribai, the destroyers, by the Lithuanians. They were frighteningly effective. The success of Sokolov's countermeasures did not slow Soviet aggression against civilians. Mass deportations ramped up after 1947, and by 1952, the Soviets had sent up to 250,000 Lithuanians to Siberia. Targeting regions that had shown sympathy to partisans, these measures severely undermined civilian supply and support. Soviets employed terror tactics as a mutilization and public display, partisan corpses, even forcing school children to file past them. Military operations continue as well. After 1947, Soviet mass assault tactics gave way to careful, slow-developing operations aimed at isolating, encircling, and eliminating insurgents. In 1948, 70,000... So let me repeat that. In 1948, this is 4 years after the war, 70,000 Soviet secret police participated in anti-partisan operations in Lithuania, along with 8 regular Red Army divisions and even air units. By that time, the average lifespan of a partisanist forest brother was about 2 years. Like many of his compatriots, Juozas Lukša held out hope for support from the West. If the Americans and the British did not actively intervene, he hoped, they would at least send intelligence agents and supply them. Having spent 2 years as a partisan inside Lithuania, he escaped to Sweden just before Christmas, 1947, immediately made contact with Western intelligence. He bided his time in Paris while attempting to organize Western support and penning a memoir. Western intelligence agencies did not entirely ignore the Lithuanian uprising. In 1950, CIA trained Lukša in espionage at a special camp near the West German town of Kaufbeuren. A C-47 parachuted him, along with a team of Lithuanians and supplies, back into Lithuania on the night of October 4, 1950. The Soviets learned of his arrival and immediately launched massive manhunts in search of this tall, athletic, curly-haired and blue-eyed, unmistakably Lithuanian. The CIA and Britain's M16 thus did provide training and some supplies, and they did help Lithuanian partisans cross the border in both directions. No substantial assistance was forthcoming, however, and Soviet success in penetrating Western intelligence organizations often made CIA and M16 support worse than useless. British double agent Harold Philby is thought to have betrayed some partisan leaders and Western agents sent to Lithuania. In any event, such operations were doomed from the start. By the early 1950s, the Forrest brothers had grown desperate. Feeling abandoned by the West, and with Soviet intelligence anticipating their every move, they increasingly concentrated their activities against fellow Lithuanians suspected of collaborating with the enemy. Lithuanian partisan read one bulletin, "Punish mercilessly those who have sold out their country, their nation, for a crumb of gold or a spoon of food." Inevitably, many innocent victims fell to such reprisals, further alienating a population weary of war. In 1953, Stalin's death put an end to the mass deportations, and while the forced collectivization that began in 49 infuriated landholders and caused severe hardship for peasants, it also drove a wedge between the haves and the have-nots. Soviet propaganda eagerly portrayed the Forrest brothers as agents of privilege and Western imperialism. Perhaps most important, by the mid-1950s, average Lithuanians felt they had no choice but to come to terms with a Soviet occupation and get on with their lives. Approximately 5,000 partisans remained under arms in 1950. 2 years later, the Forrest brothers were no more than 700 strong. The last known guerrilla leader was captured, tortured, and hanged in 1956. Though scattered diehards held out as late as 1965. Imagine that, ladies and gentlemen, 1965, there were still people holding out. The Beatles had arrived in the United States. People were playing "I Wanna Hold Your Hand," and the 60s Love Generation was coming into being, and there were still some partizani out there in the woods of Lithuania. There they were, almost alone, churning out and secretly distributing underground newspapers. In the course of the fighting, the Soviets had killed some 20,000 partisans, while admitting to the loss of about 13,000 of their own troops. Some 13,000 suspected Lithuanian collaborators had perished, and the Soviets had deported 250,000 Lithuanians to Siberia. Many of the latter died in exile. A Lithuanian collaborator lured Juozas Lukša to a deadly Soviet ambush on September 4, 1951, nearly a year after his insertion into the country. His grave has never been found. The occupation of Lithuania persisted almost until the 1991 collapse of the Soviet Union. During those years, the legend of the Forrest brothers became the subject of Lithuanian folklore, celebrated in poetry and song. The legend contributed to nationalist feelings that inspired the 1987 to 1990 independence Sąjūdis movement. The current Lithuanian government has even recognized the partisans as the legal political authority in the country during the Soviet occupation. You know, getting away from this for a bit, you know, the partisans had issued a new declaration of independence, by the way, again on Vasaros Šešelikta, back in the 1940s. The memory of the, back to the article, it's almost over. The memory of the Lithuanian uprising persisted in the Russian imagination as well, even after the 1956 Hungarian Revolution and the 79-89 war in Afghanistan and the collapse of the Soviet Union. During the war in Chechnya, some Russian soldiers told fanciful stories of deadly, accurate Baltic female snipers known as white tights, aiding the Chechen insurgents. More plausibly, military planners and intelligence agents from Russia, the U.S., and other countries have drawn lessons from the success with which Soviet agents subverted a very powerful insurgency that grew despite continuing Stalinist brutality. Bronius Krivitskas, a forest brother who was killed in 1952, expected future historians to ponder how tiny Lithuania, quote, did not fall, but managed to struggle long and hard, end of quote. In the end, he decided his nation had fought to defend dignity and everything that is dear to all free and honest people. In this way, it was an honorable and valuable member of humankind and the family of nations. In this way, Lithuania contributed to the common fight for the ideals of freedom and humanity. And that's the end of this article that was published again at history.net.com/Lithuania versus USSR. You can Google it, find it yourself. It's about six fully printed pages. There are no photographs. And again, there is the DVD and film that recently was released about the Luksha story. Okay, you should think about getting that. Anyway. That's it. I'm happy to share this with you. If you want to get in touch with me, I'll let you know where to find it more specifically. But basically, it's at history.net.com/Lithuania versus the USSR. That was a little classic excerpt from what was a very, at the time, sort of an underground song, but became a cult hit, Kalnishko Mushis. It's about the great battle that we talked about in last week's segment from the story, where hundreds of Lithuanians perished in an attack from a well-armed Russian army division. Anyway, we're going to go on to some lighter things here in the little time remaining. You know about the Green Bridge? You ever been to Lithuania, to Vilnius especially? Okay, the Green Bridge is that old, old bridge right out of Old Town that goes over the Neris River. It's not any of the new bridges or the walking bridges. It's a driving bridge. The buses go over it, the cabs, cars. Okay? It connects the city center with the so-called Right Riverbank and the Kalvariju area. Okay, that leads to the city's Soviet suburbs that were built there. The first known bridge was built in 1536. It stood closer to present-day Mindaugas Bridge, which is a newer bridge. It was wooden and with brick and stone piers. It had a second floor with apartments for toll collector. Local government the builder of the bridge wanted to recoup the cost by collecting tolls. So Grand Duke Sigismund I granted him a privilege and to live there and collect the tolls, and he forbid that any other bridge be built so that everyone had to cross the bridge and pay the toll. The bridge was burned and destroyed by the retreating Lithuanian army after the Battle of Vilnius in 1655. Okay, so all of a sudden you say to yourself, what Battle of Vilnius 1655 with who? Well, the Battle of Vilnius was an attack by Russian and Cossack forces. Okay, you've heard those stories about the Cossack forces, they attacked Vilnius within what was then the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. And this battle occurred between the 7th and 9th of August, 1655. Some other sources say that it happened in July, but most agree that 7th and 8th of August. And this was during the Russian-Polish War that happened from 1654 to 1667. So this is about the time that Jamestown, in what was later to become the United States, was being settled. The Polish-Lithuanian forces under the leadership of Hetman Janusz Radziwill, okay, now you've heard of the Radziwill dynasty, okay, in Lithuania, were defeated by the Russian army of Alexis of Russia. This was, why is this significant? Because it was the first time that a foreign power had managed to capture the Vilnius Castle complex. Okay, the Vilnius Castle complex, all that's left of it is the Tower of Gediminas over Vilnius. You've all seen it. You've probably been up there and taken pictures. This is the first time that anyone managed to take it over since the establishment of Vilnius. Invading forces plundered the city for several days, and a fire consumed part of the city. In particular, the Jewish quarter was burned by the Cossacks. Davies, a historian known as Davies, gives an estimate that 20,000 inhabitants were killed in indiscriminate slaughter. That's a lot of people. Some scholars have suggested that certain relics, as well as the body of Vytautas the Great, Vytautas Didysis, were lost during the plundering of Vilnius' cathedral. The cathedral was already there. The six-year Muscovite occupation that followed resulted in a major depopulation and decline of the town for many years to come. Another sort of tragic result of all this is, you know, this decline of Vilnius, and ultimately Janusz Radziwill and other Lithuanian magnates, dukes, surrendered the Grand Duchy of Lithuania to Sweden. Okay, you can forget that in your history, don't you? That Lithuania, the Grand Duchy belonged to Sweden, and that was done at the Union of Kedaine. So you see how much you learn by listening to independent Lithuanian radio. Anyway, so we talked about the burning of the bridge, the battle. New project was prepared in 1673, and basically a new bridge was planned, 240 feet. It was the largest known span at that time. However, an early spring ice jam destroyed the piers that were being built, so they just went back to the old piers, the old foundation, and a second bridge was completed in 1679. In 1739, another wooden bridge was erected and painted green, and they called it the Green Bridge. In 1789, a new project of a brick bridge was started by Laurinas Gucevicius, but the builders selected another proposal. The project was not successful as the bridge burned again in 1791. It was rebuilt according to another architect who came up with a plan in 1805, but it was burnt down again during the invasion of Russia in 1812 by Napoleon's forces. The bridge was ultimately rebuilt again in 1827, it began to be rebuilt and was finished in 1829. Then a steel bridge replaced that, and it was completed in 1894. It survived World War I, but was blown up by the Germans in 1944. Ultimately, the Soviets rebuilt it in 1952. Why is it so special? Well, it has those Soviet realism sculptures on it. Four sets. They feature social classes idealized by Soviet authorities. They're huge. I've seen them. Soldiers, workers, farmers, and students. They stand about 10 feet high, and they are truly great examples of Soviet realism, and I'm glad, quite frankly, that they were never torn down. And my goodness, we're just about running out of time. Before we go, one of our most loyal listeners is celebrating a birthday. His wonderful wife, Niola, and all of his friends wish Vitalis Lembertas a very, very special Ilgausu Metu and a happy birthday. It's not just any birthday, it's a milestone. Again, Ilgausu Metu, happy birthday, loyal listener Vitalis Lembertas from your wife and all your friends.
Ilgai nerūpės tinga širdį mano, tu kankinai.
Tu kankinai.
Antai viršų nerūkstančio vulkano, skubu tenai.
Skubu tenai.
Tenai nėra skausmų, nėra dvejonių, tai gera man.
Tai gera man.
Tada palieku aš ir be dvejonių, skubu tenai.
Kuli 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 kuli